Rashi, at the end of the Parsha, if I'm not mistaken, the Torah speaks about, at the end of Parsha's bow, you have a pasuk. Which child is being referred to of the Dalabanim? Mazos. Rashi refers to a pasuk in Dvarim. It says, "Mora idos v'achukim v'mishpatim v'shetziva Hashem alokeinu v'aschem harizo shelas ben chacham dibra Torah k'neged arba banim tam rasha v'sheni yodei alisho v'asher al derech chachma." So Rashi here indicates that this question was asked by a child that he calls tino tipesh sheni yodei l'hamik she'lasa. He's not able to formulate questions in any profound kind of way. And Rashi contrasts that with the chacham found in Sefer Dvarim, that he is Shaul Derech Chachma. In the course of the period of time that Jeremy Kaplan was here in the yeshiva, so I had the opportunity to, Baruch Hashem, develop a very close relationship with him. He's a tremendous Yirei Shamayim, a very big Baal Halacha, and someone that I personally look up to and really admire tremendously. I had the great schus of being at his wedding. Really, it was an unbelievable opportunity, unbelievable schus. And he's now studying in Landers in the Smicha program. And he's studying, hopefully, to become a musmach and someone who's going to undoubtedly contribute to Klal Yisrael. So the thinking was that perhaps since he's here, we could die for it here from Jeremy. And I'm sure he has a lot to share with us that you could actually gain from tremendously. And then, Yis Hashem, really, you could take the entire time if you so desire. But if you don't, then I'll for a few minutes speak about the Pasha Mitzvah Hashem after he finishes what he has to say. But really, it's a tremendous course. In general, the alumni have given us, as I said already several times, more than a shot in the arm. And just to see some of such alumni, they are really models for all of us. And Baruch Hashem, I guess there's hope for everyone at the yeshiva. Yesh tikvah l'achusei v'lum Hashem. Don't mind my little jokes. It's all said, mitoch chiba uve'ava. Okay, Jeremy. No, this is fine. You can sit
down. No, I don't want to sit down.
No, I'm going to sit down. That's why I put the chair
it's
here.
It's fine. Cover the Rav. Okay, I want to thank the Rosh Hashanah for that introduction. Being recorded, that's the first. Yeshiva grew. So basically, as an alumni who hasn't been back in Eretz Yisrael for 2.5 years, and someone, you know, everyone who goes elsewhere, whether it's Landers, YU, another college in America, the Mir, it doesn't matter. There's a lot to learn from your post Torah Shraga experience, and I just want to share some of the things that I learned. I felt that I learned a lot of big yisodos, just being away and through all the challenges and everything else that confronts you when you leave the yeshiva here. First, just in regards to your experience in yeshiva here, and what you're doing here, and what you've done previously, what you're doing here, and changing into a Ben Torah, changing into someone who follows the Ratzon Hashem, it's any speech can be said, but really it's it's up to the person themselves to make that change. It says in Pirkei Avos, "Imein ani limili," no one else is going to be for you. You get a unbelievable Rebbeim here. Rosh Shiva is very close with. Unbelievable Rebbeim, but it's really up to you to build yourself, because these Rebbeim aren't going to come with you wherever you go. And it's up to you in the yeshiva to open up your heart to Torah. We say in this morning, Esrei, Pesach libi v'sarasecho v'mitzvoseche t'rdof nashi. you know, to open your heart up to Torah, that's up to you here. The Rebbeim, you know, give you the tools, you know, to do that, and they help you along with that. But it's really up to each individual. And I mean, I'll just talk about, you know, when this happened to me. It was actually in high school. I kind of had this change of mindset. I was on a Shabbaton for my high school, and I saw a big contrast on the Shabbaton.
Don't which high school you went to?
Maybe not. I don't want to, because I might say some mean, bad things. not about the high school, but just about a select few guys, whatever what they did. So I was in one of the rooms at this I don't know if it's a hotel or whatever it was, and there are some guys there who are staying up till 3 in the morning, you know, acting like, I don't know, behemoths, whatever. And, you know, in contrast, over the Shabbaton, I met this Rebbe who was still my Rebbe, Reb David Comet. People from Edison, New Jersey might know him. And I just saw a contrast, the way he acted, the way he behaved, the way he carried himself. And I saw the way these other guys were behaving. And whatever, I wasn't such a thinking person until then. I saw a contrast, and, you know, at that one moment, it hit me, you know. Like, what am I doing? What's the purpose in this world? What am I doing here? And I just saw the way a Talmud Chacham lived their life, and that one moment, one moment where you dig deep into yourself and you connect with your neshama, you connect with your spiritual side. It can really it can change everything. One moment of clarity. So that's what I had then, and. Mir Hashem, it will happen to everyone if it hasn't already happened. I mean, I was downstairs yesterday, and Baruch Hashem, there's a lot of hasmada here. So I was very impressed. But, you know, I mean, it can happen more than once. You know, you get more and more clarity as you go and to understand what you're doing in this world. And, you know, I'm not just saying this, you know, to the guy who sleeps late, or, you know, I'm saying this even to the guy, the starkest guy in the base medrash. The Rebbeim, you know, everyone has to grow. Everyone has to grow. Everyone has to work on themselves. And you know, many times you can have more and more moments of clarity. And you know, it's important to keep growing. That's for everyone on their own. I know a lot of people try to give shirim about that. You know, I mean, sometimes you have these life changing shirim. I remember Rabbi Taub. Rabbi Taub doesn't come anymore, but I don't know. He changed like 10 guys in yeshiva in one shot, one time. I don't know. It's pretty unbelievable. But okay. But more, what I'm here for is to.
Yeah, Rabbi Schneider is the life changer.
guys, can I?
It's a slightly different style than Rabbi Taub.
All right. Rabbi Schneider is great. I mean, connects to the guy's sports. Good 3-point shooter, I think. Right? And more what I'm here for, my responsibility as an alumni, is to tell you, you know, what kind of challenges you're going to face in the post-Torah Shraga days. So, first of all, when guys go back to America, they get very focused on, if they're going to college, they get very, very focused on, you know, like GPAs and stuff like that. You know, how good am I going to do on its test? And slowly but surely, the spiritual GPA that we try to build here, it leaves center stage, and you know, your GPA, I got a 4.0, you know, that's the big thing. But our purpose in the world is, you know, the spiritual GPA. You know, we don't think about it so much. How am I doing? And you know, how does Hashem see me? How am I doing? You know, there needs to be a lot more of a focus on that. It's important. You know, a lot's going to hit you. Whether you go to YU and there's a shuttle and I don't know what else is everything else going on there.
You don't need a shuttle; it's right there.
Oh, they come now, right? I mean, I'm not in YU, but I'm familiar. It's Farm Sale. Okay, but I'm not trying to speak badly about YU. Landers, you know, there's whatever in Landers. We have a library. We have trains to Manhattan. You know, there's lots of things that can, you know, take you off the path. And you really have to go in prepared. You know, you can't, like, you know, in your experience in Eretz Yisrael, where you're trying to grow, you're trying to build yourself, trying to connect to Hashem, you have to prepare yourself for what lies ahead. It's like you have to have a little bit of fear. You have to back in my day, he's probably still very good, Ray Lewis. If you're a rookie running back and Ray Lewis is on the other side there, it's a pretty scary thing. I mean, he's a big guy, scary guy. He's a defense player. football. Rosh Hashiva also has a good thing about football with the running back, but. Yeah. There has to be a little bit of a year going back, and therefore you have to prepare yourself. If you're the running back, and next week Ray Lewis is going to be on the other side, you're going to prepare yourself. You're going to work hard because he's going to hit you, and the Yitzhahara works the same way. Baruch Hashem, you come to Eretz Yisrael, the Yitzhahara. I mean, people like Rabbi David push off the Yitzhahara. They do a good job at maybe sheltering you and building you. But they don't come with you, and even if you go to the mirror, you a big place like that, you can get caught up in routine. You might stop growing. Your tefillah can become more of a routine. Anything like that can happen. So, in Avodas Hashem, always you have to prepare yourself. Only with determination and like a strong will to fight, will you be able to keep up what you had here. So now I just want to talk about kind of the things that can push you off, the right path, and then maybe some etzos about what to do when you get back or even before. So I heard, I was listening with my wife to Shir from one of her Rebbeim, Rav Reuven Laufer. He gave three reasons why people go off the derech, and it's very important to think about this, and to go head on against these things to try to fight them. First of all, it's a lot easier not to be frum. It's a very difficult thing. Halacha, Talmud Torah, the avoda of a yeshiva bachur and the base medrash is a tremendous avoda. they still have Herbies here.
There's now a competitor.
It's even worse now. So now, competition always makes the product better, drives down the prices. It's a good thing. So there's a lot of. So I mean, whenever the Rosh Hashiva speaks, he talks about that's the Yitzhahara. But I mean, there's a lot of other Yitzharas, and it's a lot easier not to be from. So, first of all, you have to have the right mindset to deal with that. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. I'm just going to say the other things. Second thing is, sometimes, as a bachur in yeshiva, you have all your rebbeim here. You have this relationship with them. But sometimes it's very hard to talk to them about, the problems you face. It might be embarrassing, whatever is going on. Sometimes people go off the derech because they have nobody to ask questions to, and that's a hard thing. I have a cousin who went through that situation. No one to ask questions to. She's very frustrated, and whatever. But that can happen. And the third reason he gave that people might go off the derech is a childhood incident, something that might have happened. I don't know how to deal with, but. In terms of the fact that it's easier not to be from and nobody to ask questions to, we can deal with those things. At least what I learned, I can deal with those things. So the itzes that I think worked for me and what I tried to build myself with before I left yeshiva was, one, it's very important to internalize a love for Hashem that, like, no matter what happens, no matter where you go, what you do, you're always going to come back. Even if things go wrong, because that's what happens when you go away from yeshiva, there's going to be bumps on the road. But as long as you have that mindset that no matter what happens, I'm going to come back to the Derech Hashem, that you have an Ava for Hashem, that no matter what happens, even if I do some Averos or whatever happens, I'm still going to come back to Hashem. You're driving on a road with two cliffs on the side, and you're swerving. That's what happens in Klutzaris, or like wherever else. But don't let yourself go, down the hill. Everyone swerves. There's lots of problems, but stay on that road, and whatever happens, come back to the Derech Hashem. That's one thing that I think is very important to internalize, before you leave the yeshiva. Second thing is, very often we get caught up in an idea that, the whole avoda being yeshiva is just learning. You got to shteig, But the idea, Judaism, spirituality, learning Torah is, that's going to get you there. But what are we really striving for? We're really striving for, to reach shleimus, to have good midos, to be able to carry out all the mitzvahs, the maisa and the relationship with Hashem. That's really the ikkar. That's the tachlis of that's what we're shooting for. It's actually a funny story. Me and my wife came. I haven't been here for 2.5 years, and I met the Rosh Yeshiva of her place or whatever. So and it was at a reunion for my wife. So all the girls, shrieking whatever, and this Rosh Yeshiva, he sits me down, kind of whatever, a little intimidating, but we were talking, and he said something very fascinating to me. I mean, the way I originally wanted to present this is that you have to work on midos, you have to work on halacha. It's very important. The more halacha you follow, the harder. If you're following borer, and even if you start talking to girls, it's like hard to you're eating at your Shabbos table. Oh, let's start doing borer. Like it's hard to go off the derech in that way. So the more halacha you follow, the better off you are. The harder it is to completely go off the path. And the same thing with midos. The better midos you have, those things aren't going to leave you as easily as talking to girls or getting caught up in other things. But he gave me a much deeper meaning. What is halacha and what are midos? What are these things? So the idea behind them is it's really about the relationship with Hashem. Halacha is not a dry thing. It's not something I put on tefillin, because whatever, that's what I did since my bar mitzvah. Halacha is not supposed to be a dry thing. It's supposed to be like a strong relationship with Hashem. You're doing for Him, and He does for you. Just like a husband and wife, you do for them, they do for you. It's supposed to be that kind of relationship. And he said something very fascinating. He said he was having a discussion with someone once, and the guy said to him, wouldn't you want to have like one day off of Judaism once in a while? One day to just take a day off? Wouldn't you love that? And he said, no. He said back to him, would you want a day off from your wife? And his wife was sitting with him. She gives him that look like, no, don't say a day. But I'm saying if you have a real good relationship with your wife, you're not going to want a day off. The relationship is beautiful. You love the avoda that you do for your wife. Same thing, with the parents, if you have the right relationship, you want to do it for your parents or anyone else who you love. So the same thing is with Hashem. If you treat halacha and you treat, following the Torah as a relationship, as a beautiful relationship, and Hashem does so much for us and, we do back for Him, we do our avoda, you're not going to want that day off. And you're going to see halacha and all these things as a beautiful relationship that you're never going to want to leave. So that's the second thing that I think keeps a person very strong. When they leave the yeshiva, if you build up the midos, you build up halacha, these kind of things, you can be a much, much stronger person when you leave. I just wanted to give some examples of unbelievable midos, stories that I've read and different things. Rav Moshe Feinstein, this is one of the Gedolim books. Rav Moshe Feinstein was once sitting at this convention, and there was speaker after speaker after speaker after speaker. And Rav Moshe Feinstein has a lot to do. So he gets up and he starts to leave at the end of one of the speeches. He thought it was over. He's like almost out the door, and someone else gets up to speak. Now, most of us, you can't compare it to most of us, but Rav Moshe Feinstein, he's the Gadol Dor. And this person who's speaking might get offended if Rav Moshe walked out on him. Rav Moshe recognized that, and he walks back in and sits down for the next speech. Even though he had a ton of stuff to do, he comes back and he sits there. And very often, when someone's speaking, we can be cracking jokes, we can be talking to other people. I mean, I do this a lot also, and it's unfortunate. Speakers put in a lot of time, to prepare their speeches, and they can easily be offended. If if people are talking.
Can I just interrupt you? If I can just interrupt early, I told the story of, I think, in your days. I was once in my Rebbe's house, but Nisim Alper, that's all. It's a Talmud book about Moshe Feinstein. So he showed me, he had a picture on his living room wall, a rather large picture, I would say the size of this bulletin board, a picture of a convention. And at the convention, there was a multi-tiered dais, and clearly there are many, many tables, literally hundreds of tables. And on the dais, which was three tiers, there are, shall we say, some very distinguished people. But Moshe Zatzal is sitting right next to the speaker. And my Rebbe said, "What do you notice in this picture?" "I just noticed a lot of people. And someone at the rostrum, someone speaking actually at the rostrum." So my Rebbe told me, "No, look more carefully at the picture." I looked more carefully. I still didn't see what he wanted me to see. Finally, he pointed out the following. This speaker, apparently, who spoke at that moment, was number 7. It was 7 in a row. And you looked at the dais, the only individual on the dais whose ear was carefully cocked to hear the speaker was Moshe Feinstein, the Chazal Yidbarach. The only one. All the others were talking to each other, sleeping, reading, learning, with the exception of Moshe Feinstein. That's what I heard from my Rebbe, from Nisim Alper, who was a Talmud Muvik about Moshe Feinstein. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Good interruption. So I mean, even though this is a gadol, and we might not be shayach to this yet, but this is what we're striving for as Jews. We're striving to, that's the kind of midos and that's the kind of derech eretz, and all these kind of things that we're striving for. It's important to try to push yourself, even one thing, even just to make a kabbalah. I'm going to pay attention to the speaker, or some other midah or whatever. It's important to work on these things because it's not just about learning in the base medrash. It's about refining your character and building yourself into a true tzaddik. Second example I wanted to give was cell phones in the base medrash. Now, I don't know, yesh v'yesh on this. Some people say it's okay.
Rav Nevetzel
said it's an issur d'oraisa. So I remember I listened to the shir and Rav David said, "Why? Why is it an issur d'oraisa?" And Rav Nevetzel said, "Oh, you with your brisker Torah, everything needs a Rambam to back it up. It's a zilzul of a base medrash of Hashem. Of course, it's Asher D'oraisa. I don't need a Rambam." That's what Rav Nevetzel said to the Shiva. I'm sure the Rosh Shiva was laughing at 2 a.m. I think it's an important kavod to Hashem not to use a cell phone in the base medrash as much as possible. I saw in the Mishnah Berurah that Arizal, this is talking about Hilchos Beis Knesses, but that Arizal wouldn't even learn Musar in a Beis Knesses. He would only daven because he thought that if he started to learn Musar, next thing he's going to start talking Divrei Chol, and that's a little extreme for us. But I mean, the point is, there's got to be a sensitivity to Kavod Hashem. I think at least, if you were, you're going for your first interview, job interview. Your boss is talking to you. He's asking you about all the stuff you learned in college. And you're there texting, it doesn't make sense. You're in Hashem's house. Walk outside to talk on the phone. Not only is it it's the proper thing to do, but I'm sure it's a mitzvah to do that. It's a kavod to Hashem, and it maintains the proper respect in a base medrash. Third example I want to give is something else the Rosh Hashiva said. Being here 2 years, I heard a lot of these things. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein was once playing basketball. The Rosh Hashiva was there. Was the Rosh Hashiva playing?
I used to play basketball with him.
Oh, okay. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, he had a good hook shot. That's what the Rosh Hashiva was. So there's this guy who kept fouling Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and pushing him and fouling him. And Rav Aaron, he didn't get angry. And I think he even apologized. He said, "I'm sorry, I was in your way." what would we do if someone was pushing? Like, we'd push him back and get a technical foul. That's what we would do. It's hard to live up to these standards, but the point is, we have to try. We have to try to improve our midos. Especially when, there's non-Jews around. I've seen at, high school basketball games back in, in New Jersey, that's where I live. high school basketball games where the coaches, they make tremendous chilul Hashems, are arguing with the refs. The ref's not going to change his call. You know, you don't have to curse at the ref. You don't have to, why do you have to make a chilul Hashem? Why can't we have midos? Why can't we live to a higher standard as Jews? This is what we're striving for. It's very important. I guess ad kan what I learned in America. I mean, there's a lot more. But just one more thing I wanted to do. I printed these cards that just in case, in regards to the... the reason people go off the derech sometimes is that there's no one to talk to. Even a rebbe, it's hard to call. It's hard to call a rebbe and say after you're learning in the base measures, the rebbe has a lot of respect for you. And then whatever I don't know, the classic example everyone talks about, girlfriends, whatever. Okay, whatever the yitzhar is or whatever's going on, sometimes it's hard to talk to a rebbe. You're embarrassed. So what I'm trying to do, this is just the beginning of this program. I try to make an anonymous email address you can send questions to. Right now, me and my wife are running it. I guess her for the seminary girls and me for yeshiva guys. But it's I don't know any of you, so or make up an email address that I won't recognize. Hopefully, I'm going to get some real rabbanim involved with this. And the questions will probably be too difficult for me, but I have who to ask. But it's just something to carry in your wallet, just in case you ever find yourself in a situation like that. You want someone to talk to, and you don't want to talk to your rebbeim because it's embarrassing. I'll talk to your rebbeim for you. You can put in the name, whatever you want. But you feel free to take the cards, put them in your wallet. If it ever comes in handy, feel free to use it. I guess thank you for your time. And, I really want to thank the Rosh Yeshiva for. Letting me take away from his parsha shir. The Rosh Yeshiva always says, stalk your rebbeim, and I took his advice. I was basically like a little flea around him the whole yeshiva experience. I bothered him 24/7, but that's what you have to do if you want to just being around someone like the Rosh Yeshiva or the other rebbeim here. And learning midos, and learning what your real avoda is in this world—it's very important, and I highly recommend it. Thank you. All right, so I'll leave some here, I guess. And everyone should be matzliach and the rest of the year here. And I hope the Rosh Hashiva always says it. Everyone should become gedolei ador, and it's a shame. Everyone should grow, and it's important. As Jews to yearn for Mashiach, and to one yeshiva, one Mashiach, and if we push ourselves towards this derech, midos, and you growing in Torah and mitzvot, hopefully we can bring Mashiach wherever Amenu. Maybe even before me and my wife go back to Kutzart, so we don't have to go. We want to have like a passport issue. This. Okay, thank you.
He's an extraordinary young man. He is not only, as I said earlier, the doctor of mitzvahs kechut asara, the reish shamayim beyond belief. He's a very balanced person, which is sometimes unusual to find. Someone who can maintain his balance and really just an outstanding role model. The issue I was going to discuss tonight is an issue that I didn't begin to do justice to, but I'll just raise the question and maybe read a bit of the Rambam, but perhaps we'll try to find some other occasion, believe that there, where we can address the issue properly. We've shown in my trouble by the punishments
that were given to the Egyptians when in effect, why should they be punished? There's a gzeira that Hashem Yisbarach actually already articulated in the Brisman Absarim. The pasuk there says that he told Avraham Avinu, "Ki ger yezaracha be'eretz lo lahem ba'avodu b'ino sama b'amir shana." So this already was predicted by Hashem Yisbarach much earlier. And also the pasuk says there, "V'gam esagoya she'avodu dana nochi," that Hashem is going to judge the people that actually were involved in terrorizing Klal Yisrael. So the question, of course, is why should the Egyptians be punished? They were just carrying out the gzeira. They were the shluchim, the emissaries of Hashem. The pasuk says in Tanakh, "Ashur shebet api." Ashur simply is the rod via which Hashem actually goes ahead and punishes individuals. So they were simply the shluchim of Hashem Yisbarach. That's question one. Question two, which is the issue I was going to address directly, and is addressed here by the Rambam, Hilchos Tshuva. You are familiar, it was mentioned earlier, Rashi actually divides the Makos into two. Even though it's not as simple as Rashi seems to present it. And really, in order to do justice to it, we have to go through every single Makos, and you'll have to examine exactly the language of how power reacts. But you know very well that often it says, Vayechazik Hashem Asleit Paro. Rashi, by the way, what thesis does Rashi have? When is that language used according to Rashi? Which of the Makos, which number does it begin actually?
Six.
Number six. Is that true? 100%. Of course, if Rashi says it, obviously it is true. But we have to examine more carefully the language of the Psukim, and to that, I can't do it now. But clearly that Hashem is preventing Paro from doing tshuva. And that obviously is something which is runs counter to maybe one of the most fundamental Ikri Adas, which of course is the doctrine of Bechira Chavshis, the notion of free will. The Rambam devoted two prokim in Hilchos Tshuva to this idea. In the fifth parak and the sixth parak, the Rambam develops the idea of Bechira, and the Rambam actually at great length deals with this issue and points out that this is a problem not just with reference to Paro, but also with reference to a number of other psukim in Tanakh. And so I thought maybe a little bit we'll examine pieces of this Rambam. The Rambam in Perakei tells us, you don't have Perakei in front of you, but the Rambam in Perakei more or less says that don't think that there is no concept of Bechira, but rather the Rambam says every person could be either a tzaddik and Moshe Rabbeinu, very famous line of the Rambam. Here also Rabbi Chanan Tzvi has one to say about that. How is it possible to be a tzaddik and Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu was sweet, generous, unique, distinctive, but only in terms of what? In terms of his nevuah capacity. That's the parshin Balotzva. The Moshe Rabbeinu, his nevuah is distinctive, sweet, generous. No one like it, but as far as being a tzaddik, is it possible for anyone here to be a tzaddik of Moshe Rabbeinu? Only said, in the Rambam says, Rasha ki Yerava. Either a tzaddik of Moshe Rabbeinu or Rasha like Yerava. Again, we're not talking about the Madrega Nebuah. That no one can possibly reach the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu. We're simply speaking about Tzidkis. But what does that mean? So Rabbi Chanan explains, what that means is that everyone can ultimately fulfill their potential. There's a very famous comment of Rabbi Chaim Balozhin and Nevesh HaChayim. Very beautiful comment based on the Zohar. The Zohar actually notes that very often the Torah uses actually when it speaks of Tzadikim, it mentions them twice. Hashem calls Avraham, Avraham. Moshe, Moshe. Yaakov, Yaakov. So what's the difference between all of them and Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Zohar says?
There's no hefsek.
Correct, there's no psik. And Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no psik, there's no hefsek between the two times Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned. By all the other tzaddikim, there's a psik. Why is that? So Chaim Volozhin explains it because the only one who ultimately achieved and fulfilled his potential completely and totally and absolutely was whom? Moshe Rabbeinu. Even the others who were great tzaddikim, but there was always some gap between the potential that they could have achieved as opposed to that which they actually achieved. Anyway, the point is that certainly no one can be Moshe Rabbeinu. However, it's possible for each one of us to try to achieve our potential. That's what Hashem Yisbarach actually is asking us to do. But the Rambam lays down the principle of Bechira Chavshis in Perakei, and now in Perak Vav, that's the Perak you have in front of you, the Rambam asks, how is it possible that here Hashem Yisbarach issued a gzeira against the Mitzrayim, or if you will, The gzera was that we are going to be, take a look, for example, I'm referring to, just read part of this at page number A. You have number A on the second side, based on the test, left hand column in the middle, I'm reading. The Rambam says, "V'alokasu b'atar." See where the pasuk says, "V'abonu b'inu alsam harigaza ala mitzvim lasos ra." Hashem's brach was goes there on the Egyptians that they were going to be the ones carrying out the evil. Uksiv v'kamam azev v'zon achorei alei nechar haaretz. The Torah at the end of the Rambam says we're going to ultimately desert Hashem. Harigaza ala mitzvim lasos ra. We're going to become idolatrous. V'lamanifra mehem. So why the fact? Well, they punished. They were simply carrying out the gzera of Hashem is brach. So right away, the Rambam answers a very famous answer. Does Hashem is brach, when he tells us that this nation is going to abandon Hashem, does he refer to any specific individual? No. He's talking about the nation as a whole. The nation as a whole, as you know, the whole consists of the sum of its parts. So there could be different individuals who will, in effect, desert Hashem, abandon Hashem, but as far as each individual is concerned, each individual still has bechira to either follow the darkei Hashem or not follow the darkei Hashem. That's what the Rambam says. Shalom gazer at least following I do a shuiyah azonin el kolacha beecha beyosim azonin lava lava the zora. Each individual, each person, he will arutz a lava lo yaldei. V'lo hodiyo habori el menagu shalom. That's how the Rambam, in effect, uses this to answer the question that we raised before, namely, each individual Egyptian still has bechira chavshus. It's true that Hashem indicated there's going to be a period of time when Klal Yisrael is going to be subjected to Inui. However, by the way, doesn't even mention the pasuk. Does it mention which nation is going to do it?
No.
Pasuk says, "Ki ger yez acha be'eretz lo lahem ba'avodah b'yosam." Doesn't it identify the nation is going to do it? So lav dafka the Egyptians. But even assuming that, just one second, even assuming the Egyptians are going to be the ones that are going to carry it out on each individual Egyptian, there is still Bechira Chavshis. Correct? We're going to be Meshuvah, the Eretz Lolahem, and each individual Egyptian certainly, shall we say, does have still Bechira to decide whether he's going to join those that are going to terrorize us or not. The Rambam, by the way, does not like this. The Rambam takes issue with the Rambam. There's no Rambam over here, but the Rambam says that if there's no Gzera on Isha Dua, nor on a specific nation, so on whom is the Gzera Chal? Here's the question of the Rambam. On whom was the Gzera Chal? But that's what the Rambam, that's his tack regarding this particular element of the Rambam. Yeah, what do you want to say? Yeah.
So if each mitzvah had his own Gzera Chal, which is not to terrorize the Jews, and every single mitzvah would have chosen that, then there would be no Gzera. So obviously...
Oh, that's another question they ask on the Rambam. If each individual had Bechira, no one carried it out, so... It's a similar to the Rambam's kasha, not exactly, but similar. That's another question. This Rambam is very difficult, very mechudash, very, I would say, even very revolutionary. The Ramban, in I believe in Pashas Lech Lecha, if I'm not mistaken, the Ramban there quotes this Rambam, and the Ramban actually doesn't understand it either because he has another taina. The Ramban says that this is the Ratzon of Hashem. Maybe that's what you're asking. If this is the Ratzon of Hashem, that the Gzera should be carried out, so, on the contrary, whoever carries out the Ratzon of Melech HaKadim Zocha, someone who carries out the Ratzon of Hashem, he should be rewarded, should be given a pras. How could you say what the Rambam says? There are many questions of the Rambam. The Rambam is so revolutionary in terms of the Chiddush that the Rambam presents over here. But I didn't want to get to, this is all Derech Agav. The main Rambam I'm interested in is really... another Rambam, which I think you are probably familiar with. The Rambam here, and let's read Dalit, and Gimel, I'm sorry, Tzatzim Gimel. The Rambam has a very fascinating sheet regarding the question of what happened to the Bechira Chavshis of Paro. So the Rambam says, and this is the answer, I'm just going to read it, and that's about it. It needs a lot more attention. In Gimel, he says, a Chiddush Gadol, which is mind-boggling. By the way, not many are happy about this Chiddush either. Then we showed a macholik in the Rambam, and rightfully so. But the Rambam has derived this yisod from psukim all over Tanakh. I read Gimel. V'yashav sheyach to adam chet gadol or chatorim rabbi. Sometimes a person will commit such a heinous crime or many crimes. Achitin adil of zedayin ha'emes sheyach piro mizah choti al chatorim elu shosim b'tzadu midato. He is so wallowing in chet. The Rambam says that the Hashem decides shemonim mimenu atshuva. What happens? His bechir is taken away from him. We don't let him, basically, he can never do tshuva. He has lost his bechira. He should die, let him perish with his chatoim shalasa. And the Rambam then begins to quote Pesukim in Tanakh. He quotes the Pasuk Yishayo, where the Navi says in Perek Vav, Hashmein levam azeh, v'yaz navach bei, v'yay navasha, means the nation's heart will become fat. It means the nation's heart will develop such a yetzahara, they'll be so strong, they won't be able to do tshuva. Furthermore, the Rambam quotes the Pasuk in Divrei Yomim, Vayu malim malchei Elokim, they made fun, they derided, they mocked the Malachim of Hashem. Till what happened? Ad alos chamos Hashem yamo leim arpe. Hashem got so angry. Klomar chotu b'tzonam. They sinned deliberately. The hirbul of Shoa. Achins chayv l'nam meim atshuva. Tshuva is no longer possible. And the Rambam quotes the pasuk. This is now 5 lines from the bottom. Vilu gasu b'torah v'chizakti eslei para. Hashem says, I will harden Paro's arm. V'shechotu me'atzmo tchila. He was the one who, shall we say, initiated this whole process of shibud behavior the Yisrael agarim ba'atzu shalem ha'avad ischak malov. Nasan adin l'noa tshuva. So therefore, the din demanded that he should not be able to do tshuva. Shenifer imenu. L'fika chizik ha'gadosh baruch v'eslibo. And therefore, Hashem went ahead and hardened his heart. The Rambam gives other examples on the next side of the page. And Reshlam v'ches, on top of the page. And let's see, line number four. Or five, actually, about the seventh line here, I'm sorry. V'chein sichon, sichon melech ha'og also, it says, ki hikshah Hashem alokech ha'zucho v'imetz levavo, he lost his bechira. The Canaanim, in the days of Tanakh, they lost their bechira. During the days of Eliyahu HaNavi, similarly, the term, the Pasuk says, in Malachim Aleph, they have atas, yivos ha'slim ha'choranis, so I'm now reading the end of the paragraph, right before Dalit, Nintei Somer, shol agasah ha'keel ha'par al-har al-Yisrael, v'lal sichon l'achta, v'lal k'nanim l'hasi, v'lal Yisrael ha'ba l'azor, there was their decision to what? Become involved in transgression, and then as a result of that, they lost their ability to do tshuva. What do you say to this, Rabbi? Yes?
You could say that that may be Hashem's dear, but that's not the way he wanted it to come out. That when Paro says, Havanu Sfakmalo, he's doing it for the wrong reasons. He's doing it because Bnei Yisrael would overtake him or whatever. Instead, he should have done it for a different reason than Hashem wanted.
So, what is the difficulty with this, Rabbi?
No,
are you saying it's difficult or are you defending?
I'm saying defending.
Defending the Rambam. I want to know what will be the attack on this Rambam, that the Rambam says that there are individuals who lose their Bechira. Because everyone has Bechira. By the way, it's very interesting. The concept of Bechira Chavshis, where does the Rambam go to Hilchos Tshuva? Because without Bechira Chavshis, the whole doctrine of Tshuva is an impossibility. So Bechira apparently is a prerequisite for Tshuva. Again, the Rambam says you can have a situation, and he gives you a few examples, where people lose their Bechira. They are so wallowing in chet that in effect they no longer have the capacity to do tshuva. Yeah.
Well, if they lost, like you said, Rabbi Shiva just said that if in order to do tshuva, b'chiras chavshis. So if you can't do tshuva, then why are you using b'chiras chavshis?
Yeah. So how can you have any time on these people once they lose the b'chira and they don't have the capacity to do tshuva? So what's happening over here? I mean, after the Rambam has laid down that b'chira is the cornerstone of what we're all about. And without Bechira, there's no... What's the point? Without Bechira, there's no Schar Ba'onesh. All kinds of reward and punishment doesn't make any sense. So in fact, what has Hashem done? He said a person reaches a certain level of Rishus, that's what he writes here regarding Paro, and as a result, his Bechira is taken away from him. If that's the case. So we don't exactly understand what is going on. What is happening? How can he make a statement like that? He's like making a statement which runs counter to the entire doctrine that the Rambam lays down and articulates. You see what I'm saying? It's a pillow to the Rambam. Plus, are these psukim, would you say these psukim are a raya mukhrachas to the Rambam Shita? For example, let's say the pasuk by Chazik Hashem is laid power. That means he lost his bechira. He hardened his heart. Does that mean he lost his bechira totally, in toto? Or even the psukim that the Rambam quotes by the Eliyahu Navi, by the Knanim, with reference to Yishayo, by Sichon, Hiksha Hashem Elokech Ezrucho, v'imetz ha'zavavah. I don't know if you remember, you probably do, since most people are familiar with the psukim with reference to Shimshon. You recall that Shimshon, whom did he marry, Shimshon?
Delilah.
Yeah, before even Delilah. Before he married Delilah, who else did he marry? There were two other women, from whom, from which nation?
Plishtim.
From the Plishtim that he married. You recall the Pasuk? Pasuk says that, why did he marry that? Pasuk indicates that he was moved in that direction somehow from on high.
Come on.
He was directed from on high. It's a Pasuk in Tanakh. Anyone have a Tanakh here?
It's on the wall. No?
Oh, I have a Tanakh right here. Of course. Could there not be a Tanakh here? I want to just read. Okay, I don't really have time because I don't want to take your time away from you. It's not fair. But I'm just going to read a pasuk that you will. I mean, it's really astounding. Perek Yudalid in Shoftim. Shimshon goes down to Timnasa. He sees a woman who knows Plishtim. He tells his father and mother, guess what? What a nice shiksa. Please, I want to marry that shiksa. What, there's not one Jewish girl in Flatbush and Borough Park? And Tinek. Ki ata holik lakach as isha b'plishtim ha'arelim from those uncircumcised plishtim. Bayom Shimon alavim also kachli ki hi yashra b'enai. I like that shiksa. She's got blonde platinum hair. But the next pasuk is the one I'm interested. Ve'aviv ima lo yadu ki mi Hashem hi. Where is this coming from? Hashem. What does that mean? Sounds like he lost his bechira. What do you say to that?
You can think it's from Hashem. It doesn't mean it's from Hashem. No.
That needs examination, that statement that you just made. Kitano who bevakish miplishtim. Unbelievable. He was looking for an excuse to somehow penetrate the plishtim world. Okay, I just give you a pasuk that needs a lot of careful looking into. But I'm just indicating to you that this statement of the Rambam is mind-boggling. Question mind-boggling. Many show them a chalik in the Rambam. Okay, I have to leave it at that because it's 7 o'clock. But maybe I have to find another occasion to discuss this issue. Because this needs a lot of careful examination. For those who are interested, there is a Ramban in Chumash to discuss this. There's a Rambam writer of Hilchos Teshuva. There's a Beis of Alba on the Sefer Yikarim. There's a chalik in the Rambam Lagami. There's a Sfarno who argues on the Rambam entirely. It's all right here in these parshas. There is also the Akedah Sitzvah, the Bala Akedah, who has a lengthy discussion. The author of the Evelyn, familiar with that sefer? Akedah Sitzvah? Someone told me it's translated to English. It's unbelievable. Whoever translated that sefer must be a Goyin Adir. It's a very heavy, heavy, cumbersome. It's like someone's, like anything I said to you, maybe to translate Rosh Saran. You don't mind translating that sefer for me? I'd like to have it in a few weeks, if possible. It's an impossible sefer to translate. It's very heavy. The language of Rishonim is very ponderous, very cumbersome, very philosophic. And he said, Josh, maybe you'll do work at it, if you don't mind. Both of you together can do it, I don't mind. I need a translation of that sefer, I need it desperately. This issue needs a lot of attention, and maybe I will make a small chabura to do it. I really have two things. One is Kiddush Levana, that I began with at Shabbos. I would like to talk about and find some context I can do it in. And this also needs a separate shiur, a very significant issue. It's very similar to one that I'll just finish with this. There's a famous Rambam in Raivit. The Rambam, when it comes to the issue of Yediyah and Bechira, the Rambam asked the question, how is it possible that I have Bechira Chavshis, but he's broken, and yet Hashem has foreknowledge? It's a Mishnah in Pekirav. It's Hakol Tzafui, Roshus and Suna. I have Roshus, I have Bechira, but Hakol Tzafui, Hashem is aware of everything I'm going to do. How is that possible? So the Rambam, this is what he answered. Here's his answer. Rambam says, what do we understand about Hashem is Barach? Lo drachai da'acheichem, lo machshavosem machshavoseichem. That's how the Rambam answered the question. The Rambam says, what in heaven's name is this man doing? If he doesn't have an answer, let him be quiet and not ask the question. That's the Rambam answer. And the Rambam, the Rambam is correct. What's the Rambam's answer? Here also, what's the Rambam's answer? He lays down a Dr. Bechir HaKashis, and then if he tells you that without Bechir HaKashis there's no tshuva, then he tells you, oh, by the way, there are people who simply don't have the ability to do tshuva, the Bechir is taken away from them. Yeah.
Isn't that like asking why it was all Eov written?
Okay, but Eov is a different issue. That's the issue of Tzadik V'Ralo, Rashi V'Tovlo. That's unquestionably the major issue with Sefer Eov. But there are different answers, obviously, given by all his chaverim. Each one has a different approach.
But in the end, Hashem doesn't say, like, you'll never know, so it doesn't matter
good.
Anyway.
That's basically the real answer.
Right.
But is that what the Rambam is saying over here? But why did the Rambam formulate the question? He formulates it in a very lengthy, prolix kind of formulation, and then he comes up with this response that, we don't really understand anything, how Hashem's Baruch operates anyway, but the Rambam, yes, right there. That's the way he asked the question.
So why did he ask the question? Okay, we know that. That's not an axiom. So what did he have to make this whole presentation? Ki'ilu! He has an answer. Of course, the rabbi offers an answer that's radically different than the Rambam. Okay, all this is part of a lot of discussion that has to be had on a very fundamental issue. Okay.